11, episode 12. How do you like them apples?
I did like. I like those. Yeah, I like them apples.
I like one or two.
Yeah, you know, couple good apples.
Honestly, not so bad. Some things better than others, but let's get into it right now. At Kyle Chance with Sheena, we start this episode off. Sheena is filming her iconic music video. 10 years after the original song, she's filming a music video at of course, Kyle Chance jewelry store, which I'm like, also, isn't he like Sandoval's best friend now? Like, it's okay. Great. Kyle Chance just wants to be around. He just wants to be relevant. They're just kind of getting ready. We learn that Katie's not coming to the shoot. Sheena theorizes that Katie's just trying to avoid Lala, which might be true, but also it's boring. So they're recording the screamo version of this song.
The 27s.
The 27s are back. Didn't Katie also maybe date one of the, or did she date one of the guys from Emo Night?
No, it was one of the 27s.
Oh, so maybe that's part of it too. Maybe she doesn't want to see them.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know.
I think they were just involved with the song. I don't know if they're involved with the music video.
Oh, I was like, who are all these guys with those chunky glasses everywhere?
Yeah.
Who's the fucking wild guys in overalls and chunky glasses? 27? I don't know. Lala is happy. You know, everyone's kind of happy about it, whatever. But then Sheena says, quote, I just realized how positive music has been for me. Give me a creative outlet to let my feelings out. And honestly, I couldn't be happier. I was like, you literally have had one song in 10 years. Two.
And you're doing it again.
Mm-hmm.
But you're coming to the conclusion that, hey, you know, music, it can be therapeutic and
also
enjoyable.
What about this was creative for you? You did not write the song. You barely sing the song. You're not art directing this video. You do get to wear a sparkly outfit. Is that creative for you? Congratulations, I guess. But of course, we know this is really like a setup for later when she talks about the lyric that is in her new song. We were just trying to reestablish Sheena as anyone who's in and around music, which she's not. So thank you. meanwhile, at James's, the internet is reeling about Rachel goes rogue. This is a huge storyline point for this episode, is them talking about her podcast, which is like, Raquel's like, I'm not going to be in this season. It's like, you're in this season, bitch. Oh, well, you're in it.
You know, it's probably good for her podcast to be talked about.
Yeah.
But it's also good for them because they obviously, it's not like, oh, we have way more interesting things to talk about, but we have to talk about Raquel's podcast.
Mm.
No, you still, and I, you know, I don't want, I'm not sticking up for her, but you still need her in some, it is still the focus
and
of the story.
She needs you.
And she needs you, yes. It's
but honestly, symbiosis. But this is like a good symbiotic
it
relationship.
It is. No, it absolutely
like,
is.
Raquel's like making money on her own terms and she's not on the show, which she didn't want. And then the show is making money off of Raquel. And
but for anyone who thinks you don't, and there are people that think you don't need to, like, you don't, we're move past this. You can't because mm-mm. there's nothing else. Unless Sheena does a third version,
mm-mm.
an acapella version of Good as Gold,
no.
we don't have much to talk about.
No, we don't. We have fucking baby. We have like fucking sperm. Like, it's so cringy unless we're talking about Scandoval. And even still, we get these horrible scenes about it. So like, yeah, we need like Raquel's at this point, 3 episodes to go through, you know, hippie slash Graham. We need the Scandoval thing.
Kind of like that Allie was kind of like, I was listening, and kind of like
everyone listened.
You know, she's like a little shit stirring.
Even good Logan listened.
Yeah,
he's like,
yeah,
we all
listen. And listen, I'm not mad about it. I'm just saying, I'm really seeing it.
Everyone's tuning in.
Yeah,
good for Raquel.
Yeah.
At the shoot, they're also talking about that too. Sheena recaps that Raquel said that her and Ariana were just acquaintances at best. Which Ariana's like, you know, we get a talking head. Ariana's like, no, first of all, and then we get a talking head from last season of Raquel being like, these are my core friends, my true forever people, which is perfect, obviously. And also on the podcast, according to Sheena, Raquel goes on to say that Sheena has a savior complex, not untrue. And apparently when she was subletting Sheena's place, she didn't pay very much rent and she had sex in Sheena's bed, which is also pretty rude, I would
say.
It's
very rude, kind of
gross.
Yeah.
She also says that she was never really over James and that Sandoval was a rebound. A lot of things are being said that are hurting a lot of people on the cast. And I love it. James says that Sandoval asked him to open for the most extras at the historic.
You don't have to apologize for saying it wrong. You know, never have to apologize for saying it wrong.
People are going
to
flood in and make sure I got it right. He's like, that's the historic El Rey Theater.
It is.
Yeah, but like, James, if the most extras can play at the El Rey, James, yeah, you can do it on your own.
He absolutely could. I do understand that thing. It's like, it is like, I don't know if he was saying it to kind of be like, well, it is an iconic
place. It's a cool thing. Listen, it's cool.
Yeah.
But you're also playing with the most extras, which is not cool. And I'm pretty sure your booker can have you play there. And I'm pretty sure you probably draw the same amount of people.
And if he's not playing there, it's probably because a thing where it's like logistically, like, why?
Exactly.
Maybe people don't go to the El Rey for, I mean, I've been to the El Rey a bunch of times, you know, maybe people don't go for like an EDM type thing. But yes, he absolutely can perform there.
Yeah.
And we'd
truly
go.
Oh, yeah. I'd go. I'd front row.
Yeah.
VIP me. Please. Yeah. Please. So James is going to go talk to Sandoval at the rehearsal space, giving him a lot of chances to piss him off, as the show warrants, because that's why they're on the show. And then we learn about the sperm donor party. At the shoot, Lala asks Ariana to host at her place. Ariana says her house is a hot mess, and it is. Ariana's house, like, I get very anxious about, like, shit everywhere, and I'm in a weird place with my own home personally, but it's horrible. Like, it brings me back to, like, Tom Sandoval and Kristen's apartment from, like, 2016, where it was, like, disgusting IKEA shit, and it's, like, the Rich Valley version of that. Like, it's just bags and boxes on the bags, and then another like bag. It's like a bag and box sandwich. And so she can't host it there.
Do you really think, and this is gonna be a little side thing, mm-hmm, do you think personally, like, when she's like, this was, you know, my dream home, my forever home,
mm-hmm,
do you really think she really ever really truly thought that? Do you ever think she looked there and she's like, I did it, like, this is it? I feel like it's just, you moved into a home, you, mm-hmm, from the inside out, tried to make it that.
Yeah.
It was always, you know, because if a thing is like, you're kind of always leaving stuff around, mm-hmm, it seems like you're in like a constant holding pattern. I don't know. That's just my kind of petty.
Who knows? Yeah. Thing. I mean, you know, it's like this, you know, like fucking barn chic. I don't think that's the term for it. But, like, you know, it's a valley home. It's like equity. You're in a certain place where you're like, I got to get out of my disgusting one-bedroom apartment in WeHo that we've lived in for over a decade, where, like, my boyfriend's, you know, exes and, like, all sorts of, like, fucking shitty people live. Like, yeah, it's like a new phase. So I get that. But it's also like, no one, like, come on, you know? Yeah. And also, you can cling to that narrative all you want. The fact is, it's not true anymore. And you have to get out.
Yeah.
You know? So Ariana's house is disgusting, and Lala's like, well, I want to do this party. And apparently there's a cutaway to her at a sperm bank facility where she's like, she goes for like the technicians.
And yeah, goggles.
Like a helmet, like looking at the sperm. I was like, wow, she got like the full tour. Because the cryo guy is literally at the party. The cryo guy is everywhere.
Yeah.
I was like, fucking get out of here. Fucking dude. All right. We don't need you here. Of course, Lala and Katie are clashing. Allie wonders what will become of these intense personalities this week on Vanderpump Rules. But of course, Lala's going to ask Lisa Vanderpump to host at her place a mere day before the event happens.
Sure. Sure, it's just a day before.
Yeah, exactly. At Schwartz's two-bedroom of shame, he's speaking fake Italian to Gordo and Butters, saying, you're all I got.
Yeah, you're all I got, except all these people I hang out with and all these women I'm having sex with.
Yeah, exactly.
Besides that? And the millions that are watching me?
Yeah.
Besides that?
Besides my family that's actually very struggling back in Florida.
Camera crew that's literally standing next to me?
Besides my two businesses, one I have a higher equity in than the other.
Besides that? I only got you guys.
You guys. I have a couple trucker hats. Left ear. Anyway, speaking of trucker hats, Sandoval comes over in his fucking black aloe hat. He only wears the black hat, and it's like different alter. It's like his Chris Gaines. It's like he's in like the white aloe hat, and he's in the black aloe hat. What are we gonna get today?
I'm getting another pair.
Oh, fuck you. Okay. Fuck you.
I got the hookup.
Yep. All right.
I get it. Yeah. We get hooked up
you
with
and Tom,
aloe.
Yeah.
We get hooked up with aloe. It's a vibe.
Disgusting. Schwartz says, sorry about the fridge in there. There's slim pickings.
It looked
slim
packed. I looked in that refrigerator, and the first thing I thought was like, oh, it looks pretty stocked. And then he's like, slim pickings. I was like, I just saw everything pushed out to the front. What are you talking about?
Also, like, he's like, I fell apart the past few. I don't know why he's like an old, like, miner at this point. It's like, you also you might be feeling things because you broke up with your live-in girlfriend.
Yeah. And you do look like a ghost. I mean,
yeah.
Listen, we could really use an episode on you in Ghost Town.
Yeah, we really could.
Yes,
yeah.
I occasionally
could you go missing?
Yeah, so we can have a Ghost Town episode.
Yeah, I would love that. That crossover would be undeniably amazing, so make it happen. And in fact, you don't have to do much, just like wander around. Actually, exist in the world like you are.
Yeah.
Give us 5 years. Oh, we'll be ready for you. Yeah. Don't worry.
And we'll still be doing that podcast, unfortunately. We won't move past
chugging
it.
Along, just... Anyway, Sandoval is shook by Raquel's podcast. He's, you know, feigning, fucking... He's doing the worst acting job this episode. He's crying. He's, like, brooding in his aloe hat. And then Schwartz says, you both got it bad. No, they didn't. No, they made bad decisions. And these are called consequences that happen to people who make bad decisions. Sandoval fucking cries about it at Schwartz's apartment. And he says, I wanted her to see all the hard work that I've done. It's like, what hard work? What?
Didn't you see him in his pool when he was lying around the other bikini girls?
Yeah.
That's work. You think that's cool. Just what? You
shove chips under the door.
Yeah, it's like STD free and positive me or whatever.
Oh, God. And then Sandoval's talking head. He's like, he says this. He's like, and not even to give it a real shot. What was it all for? It's like this. First of all, to keep your show on the air. I can actually talk about what it was all for. To keep your show on the air, to keep you making money, to make Ariana's career skyrocket, to make Lala's career skyrocket, to have Raquel have something else to do.
And all the people working on the show.
Yeah.
Everyone, like, it's a huge, mm-hmm. a huge benefit.
Yeah, and also good, like, why did you do it? Why don't you answer that?
Yeah.
I don't know. Why don't you say more, Sandoval, instead of fucking crying like a baby in your aloe hat?
But I think he's got to make this last into the end of the season. So he's got to keep dragging it out.
I mean, come on, just lean into being an asshole. Like, we don't care about you crying. We don't give a fuck. We don't care about you feigning like you do care. Nobody cares. What's fun is watching you be the shithead that you are. You know, we already have Schwartz. Schwartz has cornered the market on seeming like a good guy and being an absolute terror asshole. We don't need that. We already have that. It's like a hat on a hat. Like, you be an asshole now. Just be a self-involved asshole.
And also get date a new girl.
Yeah.
That's what I think we need more of.
Oh, yeah. We need more. I mean, the fact that Joe wasn't even in this episode, I'm just like, I missed her.
Yeah.
I missed her.
We had it kind of good.
We did have it good. Didn't we almost have it all?
Yeah.
God damn. Anyway, they both look very old in this scene and like absolute shitheads. Schwartz then delivers the hard news. He tells Sandoval she probably just wants her voice to be heard one last time. It's over. It's been over. This is as hard-lined as Schwartz gets.
The thing is, Schwartz, when he'll say things, I was like, he says he's right.
He's right.
He says intelligent. Yes, he does speak kind of like, what did I do wrong? But also mm-hmm. when he spits facts.
Yeah, well, it's like James.
Yeah.
James is also very perceptive yeah. and very right when it's about other people.
Yes.
You know? Yeah. He's pretty
seems
good.
Like he looks in it. I think he seems to have like some self-awareness when he says things. He's like, yeah, I know. I'm like, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But you can't just, both things can be true.
Yeah, absolutely. Then we move to Tom Tom, where Lisa is gearing up for the new brunch offerings. Nobody cares.
What's with the pump? The pump sign?
This is a question that I had.
Okay.
I was like, have we merged? Is this like a Pizza Hut, Taco Bell? Like, what are we? Are we pump and we're Tom Tom now? And what part of, I haven't been there in a minute and we should probably go there probably. Yeah. But I was like, what have we done here? Is there like a line or is this just like a...
Like an homage to...
Pump stuff in Tom Tom?
I thought like, was the brunch thing going to be like a pump brand?
Yeah, like that'd be cool. I think that'd be cool if you were like, hey, pump does exist on the weekends. On a Sunday, you'll
Why
get
not?
Pump's menu,
yeah.
you know? And like get a little bit of that hot pink, like pump-tini. Like that would be cool. But like now we're, I think like according to the signs, it's like...
It looks like a strip mall.
Yeah, it's very weird. It's just... But they're both in there like... Horrible, like shiny, iridescent, like
yeah.
like metal, like
steampunk.
Metallic. But like one's like pink and one's like brown. Very fucked up. Anyway, even Logan has listened to the podcast, which again I love. Tom and Tom are late for their big business meeting, which is apparently just bringing juices in. Also, why do they have to bring juices to the bar? Why do they have to make the juices at home? They're at a bar and restaurant. But nevertheless, they brought purees and watermelon things, and like they have like a tote bag full of like elixir like potions.
Yeah, they're like kind of traveling like kind of like apothecary. What's the word?
Apothecaries?
Apothecary. Yeah.
Yeah, they're like snake oil salesmen.
Yeah.
They're selling, and you know what? I'll buy it.
Yeah.
I'll buy it. Sure, absolutely. Lisa is shocked by Schwartz your hair. Which I think honestly, I think looks pretty good.
But his face is so like almost is just so sallow that it blends with his hair, like his face and go into one thing.
Yeah, but I think it like it is. It's like sad boy, and like when he has like a dark when he's wearing dark clothing, maybe it looks very like mod, like emo mod to me. And I'm like, hello, but you're right. I mean, he's malnourished and a fucking man child, and will be dead or missing in a matter of years. So enjoy your blonde hair, I guess. So Sandoval's still distraught about the podcast, and everyone has to get over. I mean, like everyone has to get over it. Like it's, you know, like I don't know. He's like, I'm sorry. He like comes in. He's like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm late. It's like, okay. Like, first of all, this is the woman who is your boss on the show and in your restaurant life, and you're being like an asshole.
Aren't the purpose of these podcasts to talk about each other? Mm-hmm. And is it all just to be like, hey, I want to celebrate this person in the following ways? Mm-hmm. That's the function of it.
Yeah. Anyway, Lisa's like, you just want to torture yourself. He's like, maybe I do. Like, whatever. They argue and it's kind of boring. And then we learn that Ariana wants to accept the offer. He talks about the house offer. And Tom Sandoval, he's like, I have second thoughts. It's like, of course you do, you shithead.
So do you think the whole time it was just probably like, I have no into, there's no way I'm buying this house out from under.
Yeah.
So no. Until, so I can both, fodder is that I could say, hey, listen, I'm trying to make this happen until the second you say, okay, let's do it, then we'll be like, you know what? Weird.
Yeah. I think you are even giving him more credit that he even thought through any numbers.
Okay.
I think he was like, I'm definitely not going to, you know, buy. He's like, I think he wanted to buy it. He didn't know what she would do. And then he
crunched the numbers maybe or.
Or I don't even think, I think he was just waiting so long and he was like, I don't know when this is ever going to happen and like kind of being dismissive.
And like
of,
having that power move a little bit.
Yeah. Like, and then it's like, you know, he's blame and he, oh God, he blames it on her lawyers taking too long. Or it's like, fucking shut the fuck up. Yeah. Also, like, his mortgage is insane, you know? And it's like, I'm sure he just wasn't even thinking about it. He just wanted the house for himself, didn't think about the numbers. Eventually, like, things started happening, right? When she actually accepted an offer. And it's like, oh shit, now I'm like, oh, what do I do, you know? And, you know, you can't afford this house. You never could afford it on your own. We know this because you want to charge Schwartz $6,000 a month to live in it.
Why would he? He's like, well, you're already paying $2,500. It's like, do you know numbers?
Yeah. Oh, easy.
It's like, just give me, you know, two times that amount, 2.5 times that amount.
And you will not have any part of it. And he's like, we can take out a loan. We're getting ahead of ourselves.
We are a little bit.
I love.
I'm a little emotional. I'm a little petty Schwartz, this episode.
Yeah.
I'm
a little petty. This is where Schwartz like draws the line as being someone who's more intelligent than Sandoval. Schwartz is like, in his head, he's like, are you fucking kidding me? Yeah. He's like, I don't even know. He doesn't even know how to like have a dialogue about it without being like, holy shit, I'm so scared about this actually happening. He's like, oh man. Oh, okay. Anyway, we'll get to it. Lala comes in and she asks Lisa to host her sperm donor party. And Lisa says, everyone's going to be jerking off in my back garden.
That's pretty funny.
She's very concerned about getting some kind of sperm, like a paintball. She thinks it's some kind of like activity party, which makes sense considering everything they've done has been like activity based, like fucking axe throwing or like paintball. She thinks that there's going to just be like jizz everywhere, like a sprinkling of like male semen. All it's like, love it. Like, please talk more about it. And you know, of course she says yes, etc. But you know, her being kind of uncomfortable and kind of like a little jazzed about it being like a little like pushing the envelope is prime Lisa. At Ariana and Tom's house, Sheena and Brock come over to do some cleaning. Of course, Ariana's pissed that Tom's having second thoughts about the house. Tom is just a fucking idiot. And Ariana says, being right is hard sometimes, especially when it's always the case.
She is. I mean, she's been really consistently right and pretty like evenly keeled.
Yeah, I mean, she just is so much smarter.
In fact,
than him.
I really thought it was going to be a thing where it's like, oh, you're getting high in your own supply, but not at all. Like pretty, and she has room to do that. Like she's got room to feel herself
for
a lot
sure.
more.
Also, this is mere months after all this happened, and she's again, I think she's keeping herself so cool and collected in a way that most people would not be.
Yeah,
and also, I mean, the only thing I really think she's wrong on is like not. Like, she could sublet somewhere else. Like, she could really, she doesn't have to be there to have the house. But I, you know, listen, you get a little bit of pettiness when your life gets blown up.
Yeah.
We learn that Sheena has a new song called Apples about Raquel. But then some of the lines are also directed at Tom. Very controversial, very convenient. The song, from the snippet they've shown on lot, like, It's horrible. It's a horrible song. It's hard to even listen to. So I'm not even going to get to the actual point of the lyrics where they're referencing. But, you know, Sheena's got to have a storyline that isn't like her postpartum OCD. So Brock and Sheena help Ariana clean up. They make fun of her hoarding stuff. They're very concerned about her house being reflective of her mental health. It's kind of boring, but I kind of like their outfits in the scene, too. Like the Valley Brat sweats and Ariana little like silent film busker, like vest and pant. Like, okay. If you're going to have a boring scene, at least like dress them in a way that I'm like,
cute. I really feel like the house is kind of treated as like this almost like a storage facility a little bit.
Yeah.
That's just the instinct I have. I don't know if it's true. Probably could ask Anne.
Yeah.
Probably could have asked Anne.
We'll get to the bottom of it.
Maybe we'll need an Anne sandwich here and get her to kind of fill in some of these gaps. But I do feel like there's a little bit like maybe they are messy people. Whatever. Yeah. Messy people. But also it's like, is this place – because they're probably always doing stuff, traveling, either filming or doing – whatever business you're doing. So it really kind of feels like almost like their own Airbnb, maybe.
Yeah, which makes sense because Ariana's going places and Tom presumably is kind of touring with the most extras. So
they got the El Rey. So know,
the El Rey, the historic El Rey. Yes. This next part, though, is truly disturbing. Probably the most disturbing part of the whole episode. It's at the most extras rehearsal space, and we get just a good 10 to 15 seconds of Tom's just singing his heart out. And it's really, I mean, he's at least pick a song that's in your range, you know, like it's just like, it's like the trumpet part from, you know, season 3 or 4 when he's like trying to play the trumpet really poorly. But we're 10 years later, it's not your trumpet, it's your voice. And you're the front man of this band and you're wearing this horrible shirt, this pearl necklace. And you've got these your manicured nails with like thunderbolts on them. It's like, dude.
I mean, he looks like, though, he puts on a performance.
Yeah, I mean,
I mean,
he's been on TV for a very long time. I don't begrudge him of that.
And it's not like he's probably lazy about what he's doing. Is it good?
No.
Whatever.
No, it's bad.
But is he putting his whole...
He's putting all his savings in it, for sure.
Yes.
He's hired his whole band. Jason on the drums is also his manager. The white aloe hat. We've got the white aloe hat today. Good, good, good. Intriguing. And he's dancing. He's just like turning his, it's like a baby.
And where are they rehearsing? Because that's not the El Rey.
No, I don't know. They have a smoke machine.
So they have to rent a space to rehearse. But doesn't seem like a music rehearsal space.
No.
It's just like a warehouse.
It's like a warehouse with all the fixings.
Bongos.
You know, just like what's the day rate on all of this? I want to see the numbers. Jason, show me the numbers. Get off the drums.
Yeah.
Show me the numbers.
I know those two sets of books, Jason. Yeah. I know those two sets of books.
That's right.
I know it.
We've got the white aloe hat of books, and we've got the black aloe hat of books.
Conspiracy. Mm-mm. IRS, are you listening? Not to us. Not to our finances, so please.
Anyway, James, inexplicably hippie, is also there. The two, it's like, you don't have to bring your dog to this.
Yeah.
Actually, your dog shouldn't, you should not subject your dog to this. It's actually like fairly cruel.
It's loud.
Yeah, and weird, and like lots of like abrupt sounds and movements. Anyway. Their talking turns into fighting when Sandoval says he cared for Raquel way more than she cared for him. They're talking about the podcast, you know, and how it affected both of them and how, you know, Sandoval kind of makes a dig at James saying that, like, Raquel didn't think he'd ever quit drinking. That's why he gave him the ultimatum. And James says, yeah, and on the pod, she said she was never in love with you. And it escalates very quickly from
here. It's weird because it's like, Sandoval, you really, I mean, you kind of shouldn't, if you're... You should be giving him a break, and like not him giving you a break.
Yeah.
And also, it's like, can't you just be like just two people talking, going, yeah, no. You know what? Whatever. It ended the, you know, kind of the way it ended, and be like kind of take your lumps a little bit. Both of you take. He seems to have taken his lumps at some point.
Yeah.
Like, take yours to be like, you know, it's like whatever. It's also, it's like, you know, people are saying things. It's a podcast. People are. I don't know, but he took it so, like,
oh
it's
God,
like, it kind of like an affront baby. On him.
Because, of course, that's how he's taking everything. Yeah. He realized that once Raquel was not going to come back, he had to cling to that he was kind of like a jilted lover, you know? And so now he's hurt that she's shit-talking him. He pivoted. He was, like, waiting for her to, like, come back so it could be, like, a weird romance thing.
It's like when somebody, like, it was two criminals and the other person snitches on the other person. Mm-hmm. It's like... That's really, it's like, well, you're both criminal, you know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
You're both plotting to blow something up. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's, you know.
Mm-hmm. It's not good. During all of this, though, I will note that he's drinking from a mini Coke Zero can. Oh my God. What will Sandoval become? I can't wait. I can't wait personally for another 10 years to go by.
Do you ever notice the huge bruise on his shoulder at one point?
No.
I don't forget when there's one point he's saying there's a huge bruise. And I look at dudes.
You look at dudes.
I look at dudes' bodies.
Yeah, okay.
There's a small bruise, but it might be from paintball. Actually, Michelle said.
You guys have some theories about the bruise?
She said it's from a paintball.
You think it's from a little bit of steroids? Ozempic or steroids?
Or HGH or testosterone.
Definitely taking supplements.
Yeah.
You know? Because I think
And no shame, I'm into it.
No, same. I love it. But I also... It is interesting because in some scenes he looks really good. In other scenes he looks like absolute shit. Yeah. So that would kind of make sense too. Mm. And?
Yeah.
God. Anyway, James says to Sandoval, again, they're arguing at this point. I don't believe you were ever in love. You were horny because you weren't getting any from Ariana. Tom's like, no, we had a lot of deep thoughts. We talked for hours, barely. It's, you know, like whatever. It's like, no. And James is like, no, Ariana was your big love. You were with her forever. You kept telling me for all these years how she was like everything, whatever. And then you're rewriting history. And I was like, yeah, James is right. You can lean into Raquel all you want. But like, you were with Ariana for a very long time. You were like this couple, you know, this empire.
It's probably easier to say like, oh, I was with the person who's not like kind of on the uprise. Mm-hmm. It's like you don't want to attach yourself to that because what you're saying is I let the good
one go
thing get away. Or maybe it just wasn't, you know, things end. That's okay.
Yeah, no.
But you let the good thing get away. It's easier to be like, no, the thing that's kind of lateral here is the thing. That's my community college psychology. Like, you know, it's easy to connect to that because you're admitting you have to admit less.
Yeah. I mean, he's going to obviously have a lot of regrets if he doesn't already. But I also just think, like, I think I could be wrong that a lot of these people on the show, they have this narrative entrenched in them before they even start filming. Like, they're like, because they've been doing it for a while. This is season 11.
They're good at it.
They are good at it. But I think when things change or when things are, like, up in the air, like, we don't often have someone who we think is going to come back to a show and then doesn't. Like, the cast is fairly set, you know, when you start filming. So, like, I think that this season threw some of them off their game a little bit with Raquel not coming back. That's my theory.
And I still think the show would be better if she was
back. Oh, yeah.
And I'm sure – it's just – I think that some people online think that it's – but the show realizes that the show is good at being the show. The show knows you need the Raquel conversation has to be a part of it. Or, you know, we're doing more sperm parties.
Yeah, I mean, and nobody wants that. Nobody. But it's similar to Real Housewives of Salt Lake City too, I think, in a way, which got super blown up this season with the Monica, the character who kind of had this, you know, burner account that she was making fun of them from. And it's like, I know all next season is going to be them talking about Monica. We know that. And Monica's not back next season, but oh my God, she's going to be present, you know? It's very similar parallelisms, I think, that you know, it throws these people off when they get very settled into their role and like what their storylines are going to go, how they're going to go. And then here we are. Here we are at the El Rey. Anyway, this is my favorite where James kind of concludes this fight by saying, I'm not opening up for you. He concludes this fight by saying, I'll go slower. I'm not opening up for you at the El Rey. This is a joke to me. I've got to go.
Now, do you think in response to the argument, or was like, what was going to be like if they didn't get into that argument? What would the conversation about opening up be? Would he be like, I don't think I'm going to do it, or yeah, I'm going to do it? Or
I think he would. I mean, it's weird because they're setting it up for him to do it.
Yeah,
you know. So I don't know, or maybe it could. Maybe they're like, it could go either way.
But that was a pretty. Yeah, that was a pretty.
I loved it. He talks about Tom's doing karaoke on Sunset. That's his future. And then Sandoval's like, go push some buttons on your laptop. And James is like, what? Excuse me?
Yeah, but like, I think he said, yeah, I will.
Yeah. He's like, he just laughs. Like, James laughs and Sandoval is pissed.
Yeah.
You know, that's where they are right now.
You know, it's not the musicians are fine musicians. You know, I think it was a little dismissive towards the musicians, but I don't think it was meant to be like, everything, it's because your musicians don't rock. That's
no.
It's like,
no, but also, James is a petty little bitch, too. And that's what I like. That's what I love about him is that he can fucking dig. He can say that. I don't know any other character on the show that would be like, fuck your loser band.
Yeah.
You know, it's good. It's refreshing. Meanwhile, I hate to say it, we're at your Who's Your Daddy sperm party with all the fixins. We've got disgusting VPR rosé. We've got macaroni. We've got a huge thing of macaroni. We've got balloons, all the balloons you could want. Everyone arrives.
Sitting in the most uncomfortable. Are they sitting on sharp rocks? Everyone looks so uncomfortable. Like they're all, I mean, maybe it's for filming purposes, I assume it is, but everyone's jam-packed, look like they're sitting on spikes.
Yeah, yeah. Everyone is like, and they're like pink outfits and things. There's a moment that I really love that Ariana has. She's at the buffet. She's in the buffet line, and she's just like putting stuff on her plate, and she goes, "This is dinner." Relate to that.
Yeah.
Eat up. Get your calories. Get your free calories at Villa Rosa, darling. Then there's Jenna, Lala's sassy redhead friend, who is there to just sling some laughs. We're going to semen. I wrote, my note was, this party's going to be tough.
Yeah.
Allie talks to Katie about how Lala thinks that Katie is miserable. Katie's not happy about that, of course. At Ariana and Sandoval's place, Sandoval is in a corner with a knife strapped to his thigh and a mini telescope. So we've got this interstitial scene. Sandoval in the corner as Schwartz comes in, all in black, knife strapped to his thigh.
That's like a scuba knife.
It's like, why do you have a fucking kaleidoscope? He's fucking losing his fucking mind. So that's where they're at. Craig, the personal assistant, is there. We learned that he was a bartender at Schwartz and Sandy's, and after Ann didn't work out, he came in still looking like a bar. He looks like he's doing a shift at a bar.
If somebody was like, "We've tried AI," I would say he's AI. Seems like a cool dude. You know what I mean? Like, seems like a cool dude.
Yeah, seems
dude.
Fine.
He seems, I mean, fine. Seems cool, like, to, you know, fucking, but does look like AI.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's like if you typed in white man 30s tattoo man.
Yeah.
Two mans.
Yeah.
Bartender.
IPA.
Yeah. Exactly. Black.
Yeah.
You know? Well,
it seems like a cool dude.
Yeah, it seems fine. I mean, whatever.
I don't know what, yeah.
I still am dying to know how much these people get paid. We should ask Anne. But then Sandoval says, if anything, he could be my stunt double. And I was like, bitch, are you... you're looking into a kaleidoscope with a fucking knife taped to your leg.
Yeah, I mean, you both have dark hair. And
you're both Caucasian.
Yeah. He's a little, looks a little younger.
He's younger. He's hotter. Yeah. He looks cooler than you are. Yeah. He's not even that cool.
Yeah, I know.
But like he, it's like, dude, you're fucking 42. Like, no, this guy's like 29.
Yeah.
Like.
And what stunt?
Yeah. Literally, you're already your own stunt double. Fucking, what is wrong with you? Then Sandoval jokes about cutting Maya in half because he wants. I was like, you don't want this dog. You're petty.
A little whatever. Samson reference.
Oh, God. And then suggests again that Schwartz be his roommate for the low payment of $6,000 a month. Sandoval is grifting his best friend, the only guy who's in his corner. He's like, hey, could you pay $6,000 to live in, I don't know, which room do you want? Do you want Ariana's old shitty, the master bedroom, or do you want the tiny room that I sleep in that's just covered in old sheets? Pick a room in this paradise.
But he's like, why give money to a landlord that you're not getting anything out of? Why don't you just give more money to this landlord?
Yeah. Yeah. And then Schwartz calls him out. He's like, I don't have equity here. Like, I don't. And he's like, no, we could take out a loan and refinance together. I was like, dude, like, and this is where I know Schwartz is like, again, I hate Schwartz, but like he's smarter than Sandoval and he knows what's going on. He's like, I gotta get out of here. He's like suffocating privately inside. When Sandoval's suggesting they go to the bank together, two fucking 40-year-old men going to the bank.
Also, this is also maybe a side thing. What's going on with Schwartz and Sandy's? They don't film there anymore, I guess, right?
Yeah, I mean, are they not allowed? I don't know.
I mean, we were there a couple of days and they were closed. And it was the afternoon, but it was still a Saturday. It was looked closed as hell.
Ooh, yeah.
I was just curious.
I don't know. I think it could mean anything.
Maybe probably, we should go one night.
We probably should. I want to go to Jax's.
Oh, yeah. We got to do that.
You know, so we had a lot of places that might be closed that we have to hit up.
We're on tour, too.
Yeah, exactly.
The most extras are on tour. Yeah, we're on tour.
Yeah, I like a overpriced app,
too.
So at the historic Schwartz and Sandy's. Anyway, we're back at Villa Rosa, thank God. That was sarcastic. I don't know if you heard that through the microphone, but Lala is just making everyone play pin the sperm on the vagina. I'd rather be back at Sandoval's house with his knife and his scope. This is so boring and so lame, and Lisa's playing parlor games in her own home. All the moms are in a row. We got a bunch of moms in a row. Everyone's confused. They're like, what are we doing? What even is this?
I didn't even understand how they were picking the thing. It's like, who won? How about two? How about what?
I don't think they get binders with three potential. Well, first of all, like, okay, so Lala's pretty much already chosen three potential donors. Now everyone's has to like bid on them. And Sheena is looking in the binder. Her eyes light up. She's looking at a guy one, donor one. And she goes, his favorite song is Grown Ocean. His favorite animal is a lion. It's like, what the fuck?
I went to look up who what Grown Ocean is.
I didn't know what that was.
I mean,
was that
a Fleet Foxes? Oh, my Listen, God. Listen, I'm sorry. Like, I'm a little bit of a music snob, but also if your favorite song is that, I don't care how cool you're not. That's not cool.
I think this is on Cryo Guy. Yeah. Why would you ask a fucking grown man? Who the fuck cares? Yeah. If someone's like, I need sperm, they're like, all right, great. What's your favorite animal? It's like, who the fuck? Like, you're calling. Yeah. Fuck off. Like, no, I want to know, like, you're fucking, are you... You have male pattern baldness? Like, what's your IQ? Like, how tall are you? Like,
but also, if you have male pattern baldness, that's also fine.
Yeah, that is also
fine. Height doesn't matter.
I mean, it all doesn't really matter. But if you're going to ask someone some stats, I want to know how much money you're making, how much debt you're in. I want to know all kinds of shit. What's your favorite snack? Are you gluten intolerant? Like, that's important to know, especially in these trying times.
In this economy?
In this economy? Donor number one, Allie loves. Or no, donor number two, Allie loves because he's got a master's degree in history. She goes, oh, he's got a master's degree in history.
So he's still paying off that student loan.
I know, but I love Allie. In this moment, I'm like, girl, I love you. I love you. She's like,
mm. Yeah.
But the cryo man's there, though. The cryo man is there.
So it's his sperm, right? He's just sticking. I mean, come on.
They're all his sperm.
Come on.
They're all just his sperms with like different questions. Yeah. It's like he's all.
He's like, what's a song?
Yeah.
Grown Ocean. Okay, that is my song.
Oh my God.
We're really, really sticking it to this dude.
I know. Well, he's very creepy. I don't know. What fucking. He's a doctor or he's a technician? He's, you know, like he's someone in the medical field. What if he's just an actor? Why are you at Villa fucking Rosa? I mean,
that looks like somebody who's not an actor.
Like in my mind, he's kind of jacked. He's got like the fucking scrubs, like the white scrub, a pristine white scrub. It's like, have you ever taken blood? Like, just answer me. Have you ever just, you just like being on TV?
Some phlebotomy, phlebotomy, whatever it is.
Yeah. They eventually picked donor number one though, and I don't care. I was like, great, you did it. Lisa says, I had more fun conceiving your baby than I did my own. And I was like, did you? Did you? Did you eat the disgusting bowl of macaroni? Like, are you having fun, Lisa? You just got shamed by Lala for not getting your pin the sperm on the vagina right.
Listen, it's a special thing where it's just bringing in your favorite camera crews, your favorite sponsors, and then there'll be a commercial for, you know, Target or Little Spoon or something like that. Yeah. That's beautiful. That's what you're brought into the world
that's
with.
Just beautiful. That's how we all want to do it. At James and Allie's house, Allie, again, so adorable, is pissed. She's like, all this information about the sperm donor, we need to know their birth chart. She was like, all this information, no birth chart? Insane. She's like pissed off about it. She says, let me see your GPA in high school. Also weird. And your sun sign. I appreciate it. Allie and James, this kind of spurs a talk with them about having a family. Allie says she's not ready. She's not like one of those. She's like, I'm not one of those girlies who does like a Pinterest wedding thing. I've never been like compelled to have kids. And James is like getting very like fired up about this, as he would. He, you know, obviously he's not ready to do those things either, and he should really not never be a parent.
But I think he probably wants him to be the one to say that.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's probably what's getting. He's like, wait a minute, maybe I'm the one. I'm getting the tables turned on me. Yeah, maybe I do want that.
Yeah, exactly.
Which would be amazing reverse psychology.
Oh, I mean, he's like, starting at square one, just a nightmare to me. And it's like, but you did. You guys broke up. I mean, like, you shouldn't have treated Raquel so. Raquel was not going to break up with you unless you were really, really bad to her, and you did. Also, you're 30. You don't have to start again. Like, what's starting again at 30? It's like, you're fine, dude. You're fine. Also, you are not in any Let's see how you do with a dog. Let's see how you do with a fake fucking Graham for a little while. Just keep this dog alive. I guess they reassure each other and the scene concludes amicably. Meanwhile, it's Tom-Tom's first brunch. We had a lot of really exciting events. Really.
Before we get to this event, can I quickly do something?
Of course.
We got a lot of nice reviews. Yeah. We got a nice review of the show. And if you have reviewed, thank you. We'll read it on here if you send it to us, wherever you're listening. But please rate and review.
Throw
that out there. Subscribe so you know when episodes come out. Share it if you want to.
Tell us what to do differently because I don't know. I'm just screaming into this mic. Tell me what to do.
This one is correct opinions abound, 5 stars.
Hell yeah.
I binged VPR from season 1 last summer, so I'm late to the party, but I'm glad this is the first podcast I decided to listen to on the subject because these two are clearly on my level. It seems like every comment I look at on social media about VPR is jam-packed with internalized or just straight-up misogyny. In contrast, this podcast is full of correct opinions.
This
is from Stephanie, the Stephanizer. In Canada.
Oh my God. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Stephanie. We appreciate
it.
Wow,
do we appreciate that.
And I think she actually messaged on Instagram too.
Yeah.
I think she had some additional comments on there. I think mostly about how great I am. We don't need to
Are
check
sure?
it. We don't need to check
it. We should check it. We should check
it. It's about how tall I am.
Oh, and, wow.
It was so weird. Yeah, it's
specific
like,
and
yeah,
strange.
Weird. I don't know why. I guess it goes, it's as you say, part and parcel with
I
the,
do say it a lot. I
with
say
the,
a lot.
The sperm chart. The information, so you know, mm-hmm. yeah,
well,
weird.
Well. You
thank
know
you,
what?
Stephanie, and to anyone who you know raises reviews and subscribes or shows, we appreciate it.
Yes, thank you so much. We're rounding out the rest of this episode. We're back at Tom Tom's first brunch. Like, who cares? But we're here, so I guess we care. Schwartz, of course, in Schwartzian perfection, is serving shots that he made at home that he brought in some kind of decanter. He's serving people. He's like, oh, it's agave, it's like watermelon, tequila. It's like, great. This is, again, we see the tooth signs, and I'm wondering if Pump went away. Whatever.
I think we need to go check this out for ourselves,
yeah,
too. I want to know what the vibe
suss
is.
It out. Absolutely. James arrives and apologizes to Sandoval, and that's a very short moment, which is a little bit of a letdown, honestly.
Yeah, considering it was like a pretty decent-sized blowout.
Yeah, a good blowout. Blowout that I was like, I felt energized after. So like to have this be, I'm like, don't make up.
Yeah.
What?
He's like, I saw we.
Get out of here. All the girls arrive. Then they all sit down and Sandoval's in the corner. He's studying. He's got like an Aperol Spritz. He's like studying the lyrics or a menu or something. Aloe hat, of course. But then, so the girls are all like in like a booth and this giant piece of like fried fish comes their way. Do you remember this part?
Yeah.
Where it's like a platter, but it's like an unreal piece of cod, like a deep fried piece of cod is like being put down. I was like, what kind of brunch? Is there like steak? There's like steak and cod at this brunch.
I mean, steak frites.
That's not brunchy.
That's not brunch,
though.
No.
That's
all
like
right.
a dinner.
Yeah,
thing. It's
I
pretty
guess
heavy.
So. Yeah.
I don't know. It's just very, I was like, you just take the food from Pump's dinner menu and put it on the Tom Tom brunch menu, and they're all really excited about this cod.
Yeah.
It's nothing I like at 11 a.m. than a giant,
I want that cod inside my bod.
That's right, that's what they're saying. They're impressed. Lala and Allie talk to Katie about how Katie is miserable, or like, you know, Katie and Lala talk, and like Katie's like, wait, she asked, this is the first time Allie's ever been called out for something that she said, and she was like, I don't know, I couldn't find the words, but you know, you said how Katie was not in a good place or whatever.
I don't think it was too... she didn't say it, but it wasn't far from it.
No, it wasn't at all. But of course, we're looking for a fight.
Yeah.
We're looking for a fight. We're looking to eat some fried fish.
The thing is,
fight.
You're not gonna win against Allie.
Mm-mm.
I feel like she's completely bulletproof.
She's
because she's
smarter.
Like, what? Like, she's like, what? Like, what? You know what I mean? Like, what?
Well, also, it's like, Katie literally just says, well, I'm not miserable.
I think that's all she said the whole episode. Yeah, looks great, by the way, too. Katie looks great.
Fucking awesome. And also, we've been experiencing, I don't know if you're watching it like I am, I'm watching on Sling, these insufferable Chili's commercials of the...
No, I'm watching it, I think I'm watching it on Bravo.
Oh, with the espresso martini
like
ads.
That kind of, yeah.
Oh,
it's like
my
that,
God.
Yeah.
I don't know what that ad, I don't know what the fuck is happening in that ad. It's
or Peacock. Maybe I'm watching it on, or Peacock maybe, or I forget.
Oh, I don't know. The ad is like a fucking drug-addled fugue state. I was like, what is going on here? They're like in a confessionals, they're in reality TV, and they're like kind of saying their lines. They're like a random not famous. And they're like, he's a not famous guy. Why is the not famous guy here? Katie's like, I love espresso martini. She's like, tequila.
Gotta get made. Gotta get that money. Gotta get paid.
All this to say that Katie looks amazing.
She does. She looks great.
She looks fucking amazing. She's never looked better.
Yeah. She, you know, Ariana looks great too. Everyone looks great.
Taking up except for Sandoval, which in certain lights, but and then of course Schwartz looks like absolute like a fucking cadaver. So they kind of like iron this out. You know, Katie says that she's not miserable. She's saying how Lala's kind of been more defensive than usual. And Lala's trying to be soft. Just weird. I'm trying to be soft. I've been noticing that. And they just don't know where their friendship is right now. They're trying to figure it out because Lala's a mom. And so she kind of gravitates towards Sheena. And I know they have a place in, you know, the desert together. And Katie and Ariana are, you know, they have a business, quote unquote, together. And, you know, they're kind of in this fuck the Toms era, which also completely understandable, and they should be. So there's a gap and they're trying to figure that out. It's kind of gets a little bit teary, but you know, we have to move on from that because Sheena really has to promote her song, which comes on. James plays it. And again, I don't even know what I'm hearing. I feel like I'm stroking out while listening to it, but Sheena like saunters over to Tom. And for a second, there's a cutaway while she's like going over to Tom to like talk about the lyrics of a guy who's bartending at Tom Tom. And for a second, I thought he was Luke, Christian's boyfriend from the ballet. Okay,
yeah.
He looks, I don't know, if anyone else sees this guy at the end of this episode where he's like shaking a shaker, I was like, Luke? Like he's working back at Tom Tom? He's not, but it looks a lot like him. Anyway. Sheena says she has to tell him something. And that's, he says that there's a line, she says there's a line in the song that he has to know about. And the line is really personal and it's really important. And it was about Raquel, but it's also kind of about him. And she wanted to give him the respect of letting him know about it.
After the fact.
After the fact, after the song's been released.
So more like I'm just rubbing it in your face.
Yeah, exactly. I'm coming over to have a scene because I'm a reality TV star. The line is from a Ferrari to a Jetta, thought I knew you better. You do something gold to something not. Thought that you could do better.
It's not even...
It's like, you should not be telling anyone about these lyrics. It's really embarrassing. Meanwhile, in this kind of like scene too, Schwartz and Sandoval talk about there's another property that he was looking at that maybe the Toms could live in together. And Schwartz is like, no.
Why wouldn't he want to live by himself in a place that he already is in? Why would he do like a,
so fucking
it's not funny. Even a lateral move. Why would that be like a less, it'd be like a downward.
I don't know.
He can just buy his own thing. You know what I mean? I don't know.
I mean, it's so cringy. I mean, it's obviously for the show. And it's like, God. Like, and you know what? There are probably worse things than their next season storyline living together, which I know this is what Sandoval's setting up. But like, if you're Sandoval, you must be like, fuck you. Like, fuck you.
He's also like, listen, I've been paying a lot of my friends, so I need to get money from my other friend.
Yeah,
to keep paying my other friends.
It's a circle of life, baby. Yeah. You know. So we leave it on that at this shitty brunch with giant pieces of fish. Schwartz does not want to live with Sandoval. Raquel did drive a Jetta, but these lyrics.
It really did. I mean, they seem pretty It seemed not offensive, but also it's like, why are you rubbing it in this dude's face?
Yeah, because you want a storyline.
Yeah.
They're horrible lyrics. And the fact that no one would know that. No one would be like, wait a minute, Raquel drove a Jetta. These are about Raquel.
Oh, no.
It's like the most generic, corny fucking lyrics.
And the only way people know about it is if she wasn't talking about it in the show, it would not be a thing. Also, I think these are always examples where Tom could just... be a good sport about it. Be like, you know what? I was like, I don't think that's true. I think Ariana's more of a Porsche. I don't know. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, just make fun of just kind of roll with it like a human can do. Instead of being like, wait, I have been wronged and I need to grab many bags and leave. At least four bags.
He storms out. He's
so many bags.
40-something-year-old man storming out because he didn't like a lyric. After he fucking blew up his partner's life. Like, fuck you.
And it wasn't even that. Yeah, but it's also an opportunity. There's always these opportunities to be, like, relatable.
Yeah. He doesn't want them. he literally has like lightning bolt, a lightning bolt manicure. It's like, fuck off. Like, really fuck off, you know? So we leave it at that there. Sandoval's out. She's stormed out in a fit of hurt and rage, leaving Schwartz to pick up the pieces and Sheena to enjoy her horrible song that she's unleashed onto us, the little people. Yeah. This was